Oh, God's good, yes? Woo, all right, before you sit down, look at somebody and look at them. You know, one of the things I think the world is missing today is that people don't feel seen. You look at them and let them know that you're glad to see them. Man, we got the hordes here. We got the happy. We got all sorts of crazy people here today. Look at them and let them know they are loved as you are being seated, please. Y'all are so good. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful group we have here today. Even with Scott back. This is good. Oh, my goodness. This is on. I'm just kidding. Welcome back, guys. So good to see y'all for this very, very special day. Does everybody know what we're celebrating today? All right. We got baptisms. Okay. We got birthdays. Whose birthday is it? If it's your birthday, please stand up. All right. We put together a birthday wrap for you. Are you ready, Mel? You don't want to hear that wrap. Happy birthday to you. So, yes, we do have birthdays. We do have baptisms. We also have our children that we know and loved being dismissed right now. If you are through what grade? Fifth? Sixth? Fifth? Fifth? Fifth grade, you can go ahead and stand up now, and you can exit to your left, my right, and as they're going out, everyone give them a big hand. Okay. All right, now those kids will be coming back in here to celebrate baptisms with us. So we're excited about that. So let's see, we're going through a journey. What have we been studying for the past weeks? The Apostles' Creed. Today we're taking a little break from the Apostles' Creed because we are going to honor today mothers. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Today is all about the mothers. That was weak, people. Today is about the mothers. Yes, indeed. Now, see, for Father's Day, I think I got to speak for a Father's Day once, and that was so easy. We kicked off the service, and we had Snicker bars. And we asked questions like, will the oldest father please stand up? And the oldest father's like, it's me! We thought that wouldn't be too good today. So we're coming at this from a very, very different angle. So I'm so excited to do that. We did speak several weeks ago about the Holy Catholic Church or the Universal Church, the communion of saints and walking together through hard times. It's been really cool to see us do that. You have been beautiful, and so thank you there. We celebrated our Mother's Day yesterday. Anybody celebrate Mother's Day early to miss all the? Okay. All right. And that's why we had no trouble getting in the restaurants. We went kayaking. Yeah, woohoo! Yeah. It was awesome because the weather was overcast. There certainly weren't a lot of people out there. Has anybody ever been kayaking for longer than 2 hours? Okay, woo! It is a workout. When we first got in the kayaks, I was in the single, and they were in the double. Shelly and Nadia were actually in the double thing, and so we get in, and they're kind of learning the drills and all that, and I'm like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Nadia told me that there's a TikTok dance that's like kayaking, right? Right here? Okay, that one's supposed to be funny. Okay, anyway, I'm like, look at me, I'm awesome. And for the first hour and 15 minutes, I would let them get ahead. Then I'd be like, right here, and I'd stop. 45 minutes left. It was horrible. I'm like, So if you saw me in worship, I am incapable of lifting my arms today. So I'm feeling the Spirit, and I'm like, the Lord sings, the Lord sings. Jesus, I'm so sore right now. This is terrible. So if I look awkward, it's because I am. Okay, so thank you for that right there, yes. So we had a phenomenal time. We did go kayaking, and then we went out to eat at a little brunch place called Mimi's Cafe. Had a fantastic time. But do you know the history of Mother's Day? This is actually really fascinating. Mother's Day is not all that old, although you can find that first term used back in the 1800s. There was a lady, her name was Anne Reeves Jarvis. Now, Anne Reeves Jarvis had a very, very tough life. She had, I think, something like 13, 14 kids. Only 13 children. Only four of them made it into adulthood. Can you imagine the difficulty there? And so one thing that she decided to do as a ministry was she started this thing called Mother's Day Work Clubs. And what a Mother's Day Work Club was, she would gather all of the mothers together, and the purpose was mother's ministry. It was to teach mothers how to care for their children. Because again, she had lost a lot of children, and so she was trying to improve the quality of life for children, for the mothers. Later on, this sort of thing morphed into a thing called Mother's Friendship Day. This is back in 1868. Now, listen to how radical this is. She started a group where mothers gathered with former Union and Confederate soldiers in an attempt to unify. Wow. So the history of Mother's Day is actually about mothers getting together doing ministry, like changing the world, beautiful stuff. And then Anne passes away. One of her surviving children was named Anna Jarvis. Now, Anna Jarvis actually wanted to honor her mother and all of the sacrifices, and so she just wanted a day where she could celebrate her mother. Beautiful, which is what's been passed down to us. Now, there is a little bit of maybe irony here. She was seeking to have a personal day of celebration between mothers and families. And she had the first one in a Methodist church. And then she actually started to push this thing really big. We have got to do this. We have got to do this. This is a beautiful thing. And she said that it's unfair that men have all of this stuff. Father's Day was not actually invented yet, but she said that women need something like this to celebrate. And so eventually, the president of the United States signed on. This was President Woodrow Wilson. Now, here's where the irony comes in. As soon as the president made this a national day, guess what happened to it? Hallmark and all the greeting card companies and the roses, just inundated the thing. She hated it so much, she spent the rest of her days trying to get it canceled. Isn't that crazy right there? Anyway, we keep it, and yet we keep it focused on what it's supposed to be focused on, great mothers who are changing the world one child at a time. So today I am going to give you 5 or 6 ideas about motherhood. This is not a teaching mothers how to be better mothers, because I don't think you need that today. Isn't that horrible to come in on a Mother's Day and then to hear how you're not good mothers? We are coming at this from a very, very different angle, but I see the look in your eyeballs right now. We had a nice little debate here on who's a mother, right? Earlier, who is a mother? All women, she says. Woo! Amen. I have a test. I have the motherhood test right here from a scientific journal. And if you don't shake your head no. Oh, my goodness gracious. Sitting on the front row telling me no. You're supposed to say amen. Thank you. I have a scientific journal test that is going to determine whether or not you are a mother. Again, this is scientifically validated. Question number one, or statement one. Remember, this is from the pediatrician journal, motherhood, something like that. If you have a stroller, but you're still a rock and roller, you're a mom. Yeah. Let's pray for her. If you're tired of doing dishes and you know who Elmo's fish is, you're a mom. If you have a lot of fun, but your work is never done, you're a mom. Amen now, huh? Now we're all about scientific journals. Okay, this isn't really a scientific journal. This is called the music group Go Fish, but same thing. You're a boss. You're the driver. You're the ultimate survivor. You're a doctor, a cooker. Your man thinks you're a looker. Amen, men? If you didn't say amen, oh boy. If you work all day but you never get paid, you're a mom. Amen. Don't say amen to that one. If you need a sick day, but instead you're going to play, you're a mom. If your first occupation sounds like a sweet vacation, you're a mom. If your living room floor looks like a toy store, you're a mom. If you mean the whole world to a little boy or girl, you're a mom. If you have the most important job in the world, then you are a mom. Isn't that beautiful? And so much of that is true. So I'm just going to share with you today a couple of thoughts in my humble opinion about motherhood. So let's go ahead and jump right in here. Number one, what I want you to know is that this should be obvious. Motherhood is essential. Look around the room. You are not here unless you had a mom. This is scientifically validated. Now, this is really cool, though, because don't just gloss over this one. Did you know that God could have chosen any number of means to bring about more human beings? He could have made it where if you get wet, you pop out new babies. I think that was in a documentary called Gremlins. There are so many ways of actually reproducing. One is called budding. This is what yeast does. Cells grow. It's like, oh, wow, what's that on my hand? Pop! There's a new baby. Although not, it's baby yeast, so it's not a real baby. It's a yabby. There's parthenogenesis. This is where an egg grows into a plant without the fusing of sperm. There's fission, where an organism splits into two. He could have done that. Wouldn't that be awkward? Or fragmentation. You chop off a finger, and then there's a baby you. Ew. You must have never seen the real thing then. Birthing children is crazy. God chose to do it this way, and the one he chose to bless with this was the woman. Did you know that women are not the only one in the animal kingdom who has children? What animal does the male carry? It's weird that you know that, but yes, it is the seahorse. And all the women say, amen. God had so many different ways to do this, and yet he chose to bring it about one of the most beautiful, most difficult, most insane processes through a woman. I think back the parts that I can remember of Nadia's birth. And it was crazy. It was insane. I just remember flashes. Because from the moment the doctor first gave her an IV in the arm, all the blood rushed from my face. And I'm like, whoa. And then there's this thing called an epidural. Don't ever watch an epidural. The blood went from my face again. Now, I'm a logical character. I'm sitting here thinking, wow, all the blood's running from my face to my feet, but I can't stop it. Phew. The nurse had to tell my pregnant birthing mother, wife too, yeah. She was. Put aside that rumor. Let's give him something to talk about. Okay. What did the nurse have to tell you about me? Nadia is birthing a child, and the nurse tells her to tell me, please tell your husband to sit down and get out. Okay, let's give him something to talk about. Immaculate conception number two. We could start a cult. Okay. Hear what I mean, not what I say. If you lived with me, you would know this. Okay, anyway, from the fainting and all the stuff, I remember the doctor after Nadia was birthed and the doctors or the nurses holding her, they passed me scissors to cut the umbilical cord. Rewind, the blood had drained from my face. I am on the way down. And it's like slow motion. So I reach out and I grab something. I'm like, and I'm going down. And I snip. Boom. I don't know what I sniffed, but it turned out okay. It was a girl, thankfully. We're all right. And I left that whole process, and it brought me deeper with the Lord because I had a question. I was like, Lord, why did you make it like this? I'm still praying through this. The fact, when I saw Shelley and the beautiful process that is bearing children, it changes your world. It's beautiful, and it's divine even. I mean, it's staggering the strength that it takes to be a mother, and that's before the child is ever even actually born. We honor mothers today. Number two, like I just sort of alluded to, motherhood is a sacred call from God to many. Back in the day, you didn't even have to make this claim. Motherhood was so, it was in many ways the epitome, like the greatest gift that a human being can be given. But today we live in a culture that just flat out attacks motherhood. In fact, much of culture looks down on motherhood like it's not a thing, like it's not a job, like it's easy, like if you're not just in the top 10 of corporate America, you have done nothing. That is the biggest bunch of garbage you will ever hear. Motherhood is sacred. It's a source of joy and pride. All the way back, really one of the first commands was be fruitful and multiply. You go through all the scripture, be fruitful and multiply. As a matter of fact, Rebecca Raphael wrote a book on disability in the Hebrew Bible, and she said this, an understanding of disability as bodily impairment in the context of social environment reveals that female infertility, seldom viewed as a disability in modern post-industrial societies, is the defining female disability in the Hebrew Bible. We read so many stories of it. Sarah, Rebecca, Hannah, Samson's mother. One case study today found that almost 50% of women polled consider having children inconsequential. Either way. That's a terrible thought. The pendulum swung from children being the greatest blessing to children being some sort of burden to bear that will ruin your financial status in life. Nonsense. It's garbage. Motherhood is a call from God to many. And to seize that call is to partner with the divine in changing the world life by life. We're always talking about life on life discipleship here. Life on life discipleship. There is no more fundamental life on life discipleship than motherhood. There is none. And the church embraces that. Now, there are some views within the church, a small group that go too far. Like, there's a movement called the Quiverful Movement. Have you ever heard that one? There's a whole group that's like the Quiverful Movement. You're supposed to be fruitful and like populate your own planet. So have like 15 babies. All right, more power to you. But that's not necessarily the call from God, okay? That's an extreme version. But motherhood is sacred. Why is it so sacred? Well, number three says this. Motherhood is, think about this for a second. Motherhood is partnering with and participating in the divine action of creation. Just let that sit for a little bit. A life within. I don't even know as a male, I don't even know where to go with that. To have a life within you and the bonding and the producing and the Whoo, that is near the heart of the divine. As a matter of fact, one expert on motherhood, Nicolene Peck, said, "Motherhood is as near to divinity as a person can get. A mother literally joins with God in bringing a soul into the world." Wow. And the only way to miss this is if we have a wrong anthropology of what an eternal human soul is. But that's a talk for another day. I mean, let's just think about two of the greatest women in all of history. One of them would be Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 says, "The man called his wife's name Eve." In the Hebrew, that's actually Chava. Chava. "Because she has become the mother of all living." God uses a woman, motherhood, to bring you into the world. That's powerful. Let's look at another one, I don't know, kind of important one. Her name was Mary. Mary, can we just stop and focus on the fact that when God came up with a plan to save the whole entire world, he chose to unite his divinity to humanity through a woman, through a womb. God could have just appeared. Poof. Little baby Jesus on the doorstep. There he is. Gaga goo goo. In fact, in the whole salvation process, guess who was cut out of the process? Man. Because you know what God knew? Man would mess it up. He said, "Joseph, you just kind of be there. Let's let Mary do it. You'll just mess the whole thing up." He chose womanhood. He chose the womb. Motherhood is sacred. Motherhood is beautiful. Number four, we need to fly. Number four, motherhood teaches us about the heart of God. A lot of times in like the feminist movement and all this kind of stuff like this, it's all, you know, God male, God female, what's it like and all this. But the truth of the matter is that mankind was created in his image. Male and female. Because God is spirit, he does not have physicality, which means he does not have body parts outside of the incarnation. So it's a really wonderful discussion. But yet we can find in the scripture that God is more than just some guy sitting up there like, "All right, walk it off," you know. There are characteristics of God that we need to recognize. Isaiah 66:13. I love this passage. "As a mother comforts her child, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted." We get this same sort of sentiment when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." Did you know that a mother, the importance of a mother throughout all of life is just absolutely vital, but in the first 3 years, there's a level of importance that just you cannot substitute. Did you know that for the first 3 years, the mom acts as the baby's central nervous system? What that means is that the baby's central nervous system is not developed enough to actually react to dangerous situations, stressful situations. And so it's the mother who intuitively, because of a chemical there, intuitively knows when the baby's in stress, and the mother swoops in and comforts and guides and heals and loves on. It's only by watching the mother do this that by the age of 3, the baby internalizes what the mother has done and can start to act as its own defender. And that's pretty huge, because How many stressful moments does a baby have? I mean, imagine bursting out of a tunnel and white light and a scary doctor with a mask and they're beating on you like poof, poof, poof. And then fathers are falling over and, you know, women are crying and, you know, nurses are all around and it's like, And then they finally wrap you up. You're all torn. You're all like this, doing this, and you're hungry and things are shooting out of you. You don't know what's happening. The whole first 3 years is one big stress moment. And I'm talking about for the parents. Imagine what it's like for the baby. Good gracious. The mother's presence in that baby's life in the first 3 years is vital. The mom also acts as the baby's emotional regulator. Again, the same thing. After about that three-year mark, the baby learns how to regulate their emotions because they've internalized them from the mom who was able to do so, who would do so much better at that than a dad. And let me tell you why. Because mothers produce this wonderful chemical called oxytocin. Oxytocin is affectionately known as the love and bonding hormone. So women by nature get this oxytocin boost, and it's like, oh, and it's protection. Guess what guys get? Guys get antioxidant. No, that's not it. It's called vasopressin. Vasopressin is the protective and aggressive hormone. This is why Lindy fought to protect Jordan, and Scott was trying to buy him a four-wheeler at the age of two. I remember talking to Scott Hurley. It was four. A motorcycle at 4 years old. Lindy's probably like, our son will kill himself. Just spit on it. He'll walk it off. It's a chemical difference there. We need mothers. Children need mothers. As a matter of fact, they've traced certain cases of ADHD and natural aggression to an inability to control emotions because of that time period. It's a really fascinating place in science. Women are just by nature mothers, nurturing. As a matter of fact, there's this really cool story. I don't think it's real, but it is in the Midrash, Talpiot. And the Midrash is an ancient Jewish commentary on the Hebrew Scriptures. There's this story that says one day Adam was in the garden and all of the animals were crying. So you have, however the animals cry. They were all dogs. And Adam couldn't figure out, hey, why are all these animals crying? Now, you also need to know that according to this story, Adam knew every language that would ever be spoken on planet Earth, which meant he knew Hebrew, Aramaic, English, French, and probably Pig Latin. However, he could not figure out what was going on here. Eve walks up, or Chava walks up and says, sweetheart, it's because they're hungry. And he goes, oh, yeah. And so he feeds them and fixes everything. The point of the story is that mothers have this ability to know what's wrong and then to fill that need in a way that Adam and descendants of Adam often cannot do. Even the Talmud, which is kind of the primary source for Jewish law, says that Chava, Eve, was called that because she nursed the whole world. And her descendants through her nurse the whole world. It's beautiful. I think that was number four. Number five. Mothers, and this is one of my favorites because it's true for me. Mothers instill Christianity in their families. You see this with Paul. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 5, he says this, and I remember your genuine faith, For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So many times the faith, the beauty that is Christianity, funnels through and sticks with the children because of the mother. The faithful prayer, the never-ending crying out to the Lord, the faithfulness therein. One of my favorite stories is about Augustine. Monica is one of the most famous mothers of all time, because if you know anything about St. Augustine, Augustine was crazy. Brilliant, but crazy. And he just loved to sin. His mother was a devout Christian and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. But Augustine said, Christians are stupid. I don't want anything to do with that. And so he moved off and he shacked up and he did all sorts of crazy stuff. Why? He said, because I just want to do evil. I do evil because I delight in it. Imagine that Christian mother. And yet never one time did she give up. She spent her whole life praying and praying and praying and crying and praying. Augustine himself says this, for my mother, your faithful servant wept for me before you more than mothers weeping when lamenting their dead children. In fact, she was so broken so often, she actually went up to a bishop one time and just said, my son, pray for him, do something for him, pray for him, do something for him. And she kept on going up to him over and over. And the bishop finally threw his hands up and he said this, let him be where he is. Only pray to the Lord for him. Now go away from me, for as you live, it cannot be that the son of these tears should perish. And then a short time later, he has this massive meeting with God, changes his life, and changes the Christian church forever. In fact, she is said to have said this, son, for my own part, I have no further delight in anything in this life. What I do now, and why am I here? I don't know. Now that my hopes in this world are accomplished, I desired one thing in this life, that I might see you become a Christian before I died. And God has done this more beautifully than I could have ever fathomed. A praying mama changed the world. In my own life, wasn't bred in church, didn't go to church. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom, well, she was just a heathen, and she could out-cuss a sailor on a good day. I mean, she was just crazy. So the whole family was crazy, and we delighted in evil just because it was evil. And then one day, the worst day ever, my mom came home from work and said, children, we're going to church this Sunday. We don't want to go. She said, beepity beep beep beep, you are going. She was saved. She wasn't sanctified, okay? She didn't get there yet. And so from that point on, we were probably 10, 11, 12, something like that. From that point on, every time those stinking church doors were open, we were in on Sunday morning, we were in on Sunday night, and the good Baptist went on Wednesday night too. Every time. Hated it. Didn't like it. And then one day we went off to camp. We got saved. And then from us getting saved, our neighbors got saved. And then there's ministries going all over. And then the ministry calls and all sorts of this crazy stuff like that. How'd all that happen? Because I had a mama who was crazy. And she fell in love and lived for the Lord to the same degree or more that she used to live for the world. And she never gave up. She prayed and she wept and she cried and she prayed and she never gave up. And she still is a prayer warrior to this day. A mama can change the world. And so can you. Last one, number six, worship team, y'all can come on up. We do have baptisms coming up, which is so, so beautiful. Number six, last one. Mothers extend beyond biology. Mother's Day, we focus on biological mothers. But you know as well as I do that according to the Bible, there are mothers in here who don't have children. There are mothers who have children in here who have more than just their children. There are spiritual, godly mothers who are doing all of those things for their children that might not be their biological children. I love what Paul says in Romans 16, 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me also. The Apostle Paul is saying this. As a matter of fact, it gets even better than this. Not only can you have one more mother than what you actually have, listen to this. It's a promise from God that you will have innumerable mothers. Where does it say that? Watch this. Mark chapter 10, 29 through 30. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and field, along with persecutions, and in the age to come. The call that I kind of want to leave you with is two. The first one is, who are you mothering? And I'm speaking to the women here. On Father's Day, I'll do the same thing for the fathers here. Remember the importance that you hold, ladies. There is something that you can give to the world that I cannot give, that Dan cannot give, that Jacob cannot give, that you guys here, you cannot give. There is a beauty, a power, a strength, a calling in you, a gifting and a forming in you that the world needs. Needs you. Rise up and accept that call. Today, we leave with this. Today is all about honoring our mothers. And I have a great poem that I'm going to read here. But the challenge first is, it's not only a call to you, but take a moment. Think about those mothers in your life who got you here. Some of y'all lost. Lost as a goose. Some of y'all broken, didn't know where you were going, didn't know what you were supposed to do. Could have been drugs, could have been pride, could have been gambling, could have been just narcissism, could have just been apathy. And there was some woman there who was praying for you. There was some woman there who was trying to disciple you, trying to encourage you. Think about them today. Shoot them a little text. Hey, I'm so appreciative for you. Wouldn't that be so powerful? You have the power to brighten up someone's day this day. So not only to be poured into, but to pour out. Because Mother's Day is more than just about being honored. That's the second part of the story. The first part of the story was the pouring out. And if we could take both of those and put them into a Mother's Day celebration, what a special day that would be. Amen? Let me leave you with this poem. It's actually only one stanza to a poem, and I believe it firmly. It's called The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. It was written by William Ross Wallace in 1819 to 1881, and it says this: Woman, how divine your mission! Here upon our natal sod, keep the young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Let's pray. Father, what a calling you've given, what a gift you've given to these in here who are mothers, whether biologically or spiritually or through adoption or through any means, Father, we're so grateful that you've entrusted such a mission to these women here. And I pray that there would be a sense of pride and a sense of purpose therein. Father, I pray special strength on them. Lord, may they love well and live well, and may the kingdom shine brightly in and through them in all they do, say, or think. And Lord, gird them up when times get difficult, when the den actually looks like a playroom, when there's little thanksgiving. Father, I pray that your Spirit would rest upon them and give them the energy they need to continue on. And Lord, help us be a church that fills them up, that loves on them, and that helps them to thrive in such a beautiful calling. We know we cannot possibly do this, but you can. So it's in the authority of Jesus that we pray this. And everybody said, amen. Now, before we get into baptisms, can we just have mothers stand up for us? If you're a mother, please stand up so that we can awkwardly look at you and then give you a big hand. Absolutely. Ladies, you are near to the heart of God. Thank you. Thank you. We're singing. Okay. All right, everyone stand up with me, please. We're going to sing and then we're going to launch into a phenomenal way to celebrate Mother's Day. What are we doing today?
Baptizing.
And that's going to be awesome. So let's sing. Oh. Never mind. We're baptizing first. She just kicked me in the shin and said, I want it now. Okay, good deal. Good deal. All right, sorry. Grab a seat. Sorry. Really quickly, we are bringing the kids back in, because we want to celebrate with them. While we're doing that, come on up here with me. Come here. Come here. You just follow me around. Come here. Stand up right here. No, stand. No, stand on it. Yeah, really? Okay. Now, what is your name?
Parker.
Parker. And what did you say we were doing today? Yes, indeed. And why are we baptizing?
Because we're baptizing because
Is it because you like bald people?
No.
No, no. Okay. Well, ouch. Jeez. Who do you love?
Jesus.
Yes, you do. And have you decided to follow him for all the days of your life?
Yes.
Are you excited to get baptized? Who is baptizing you today?
My dad.
Where is your dad? Oh, look at him. All right. All right, well, hey, are the kids in here? Yes? All right, come on down here. Let's walk you around.
If you would like to come up as well and just celebrate in this amazing, make sure don't get in the way of pictures, but come up and celebrate. That'd be awesome.
Hold on. Let's let everyone come up that wants to come up. All right.
I just want to say that I'm really thankful for this church, everything that we've been through. You guys have been amazing. The women in the church that have been a huge part of making this a thing. Sunday schools and things like that. You guys are just as much a part of this and just as much of planting that seed in her as we are. And so I'm so thankful for everyone that's had a hand in that. Parker, do you understand what this is about? Do you understand that you're a sinner who needs a savior? And do you understand that this is a representation of your death in Christ and being brought to a new life in Christ also? Okay. I know you're excited. She's really excited about this. I'm really excited, really scared. I've talked to a few people about it, and just that the reality of, you know, there's no official age of accountability, but realizing that this is her taking accountability for her own life and her own walk in Christ, trusting that God's going to be there, He's going to help that seed grow inside of her, putting us in her life as that responsibility to help that sanctification and help her to grow in wisdom and understanding of who Christ is and how much he loves her and how much she needs him. So, Parker, in obedience with the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.